another edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We've got a good show on hand tonight. We'll be talking football with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright, and a junior running back from Maryville and Brody McMahon. We'll also talk soccer with head soccer coach Mark Gordon, cross country with cross country coach Nick Gibson, and I have with us tonight a tennis player who had a heck of a week last week competing in the ITA Cup National Tournament down in Rome, Georgia. Franco Olivo will be joining us, coming back after a third place finish there. And we'll also be talking all these sports here this evening from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Well, I'm Matt Trenton. I'm John Coffey. And Matt, coming off a good weekend last weekend, a homecoming weekend on the Northwest campus, and Bearcat football team posted a nice win, and a lot of other nice things happened on campus throughout the weekend.
Yeah, and starting with that football game, I think everybody, from what you read, you look at them on paper, you knew Nebraska Kearney was a little bit of a better football team this year coming in. Then you actually get to see them in person. You see that this is a program really making strides. So for Northwest to come out as fast as they did, up 21-0 at the end of the first quarter, and able to roll to that win 27-13 was big. And you're also sitting by yourself atop the MIAA after Fort Hays beat Pittsburgh State, too. So Northwest Missouri State football controlling their own destiny the rest of the way, just four games left in the regular season. But, yeah, top to bottom, a really good weekend overall. We see soccer step up and get a good conference win. Volleyball has won four in a row, including knocking off Washburn, which Washburn's first loss of the season. Golf finishing 10th out in the Central Region preview as well. And then, as you touched down to, Franco Oliva having a big weekend there for Northwest Missouri State men's tennis. And really, we kind of talked about it before, a couple weeks leading into the ITAs, about, kind of reminding Northwest Missouri State, I don't want to say putting them on the map, but kind of sending up that beacon light saying, watch out for this school. It's a tennis school as well. And Franco doing really some damage there in Rome, Georgia.
And really a nice job. I guess some warm weather schools down there that get the chance to play outside year-round. Northwest, when you come to play in Northwest, you don't get that opportunity, although the indoor facility will help things out immensely with that as far as working out for the spring season. But just a great job representing Northwest down in Rome, Georgia.
Yeah, and you go into that first match, and you're taking on the four seed overall in the tournament, and obviously a heavily favored on that side. And you drop the first set, but you come out and win the next two and advance on, and finishing up third overall, the highest finish under Coach Rosie. So a lot of great things there for Franco, and playing some great tennis down there.
Little news from about the MIAA, hit late this afternoon with Rogers State out of Claremore, Oklahoma, announcing that they have plans to join the MIAA. And there's some things that have to be approved, but it looks like a lot of that would just be formalities for them to join the conference next year.
Yep, the Board of Regents meeting on October 24th coming up that I guess they'll officially decide to join the MIAA. But interesting to see. Obviously, we saw Southwest Baptist leaving the conference, or losing that school for all those sports outside of football. And then also Lindenwood picking up and leaving the conference too, so you knew the MIAA would be kind of searching around and finding another school to fill that void. You see Rogers State come in, a program that's kind of what you expect, the baseball, basketball, cross country, golf, soccer, track and field, softball of those programs. Not a football school though, so adding in another Oklahoma school, but they don't have a football program. So coming over from the Heartland Conference, and know in the past they've had some good basketball programs, so it'll be a little bit different now as we're kind of adding to the South here in the MIAA.
Seems like every 10 years or so, you kind of see a little shift in the way the conferences play out, and kind of seeing a little bit of that right now with what's been taking place here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, heck, it wasn't that long ago that we had Truman State and Nebraska, Omaha, and quite a few schools a little bit further north up here in the conference. Then as those kind of fall off and the Lindenwoods kind of join and leave, and you're kind of due for a little bit of, I guess, conference churn every few years, and you're seeing that now. And you know, hopefully, though, everything kind of gets set, and we'll be able to see a lot of good programs stick around the conference for a lot of time to come.
Well, again, we are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. As we mentioned, we've got a good show on hand for tonight. A reminder that the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show is underwritten by the Student Body, screen printing and embroidery located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner. Offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More information at 660 582-2699. Again, I'm John Coffey, along with Matt Trenton. And behind the scenes helping out, helping us get it set up with Jenny James, and also helping here during the show this evening is Kramer Sansone. So stay tuned. We've got a lot more coming up on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information on location or at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point Assisted Living and Memory Care in Maryville. Oak Point offers private apartments and other services for seniors. More at 660-562-2799 or at oakpointmaryville.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Audiovisual, providing residential, commercial, and auto customers with sales, design, service, and installation of home theater and car audio systems. More information is available at 660-853-2319.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Craig Thompson of Albany.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Time to turn our attention to soccer. The head coach of the Bearcat soccer team, Mark Gordon, joins us. And Mark, as always, good to have you with us here on the show tonight.
Thanks, as always, for letting me come in.
And coming off a nice win on Sunday.
Refreshing win, yes. We were very excited to get the W while we were down in Bolivar.
Yeah, against Southwest Baptist, a 3-2 win there, and a game that was close at halftime, 1-1 game, came out in second half, and got some things going rolling for you there.
Yeah, I felt like we scored in the second minute of the game, so we've been kind of running dry on goal scoring, and so we kind of went into panic mode, I think, a little bit. We weren't sure what to do, and not too long thereafter, they equalized, and felt like we were treading in normal water. So at that point, you know, we went into half, and just had a conversation about, you know, being able to maintain that. You know, we haven't been in that situation, and so again we opened the second half, and within the first 2 minutes of the second half we score goal number two, and kind of went into panic mode again a little bit. So we were just struggling. We just haven't been in that point of a game this season, it seems like, for that extended period to be able to maintain a lead. And so rather than continue to play what created our goal scoring opportunities, we trying to preserve, you know, the lead, so to speak. So it was fun.
And a big afternoon for Emily Madden, turning the hat trick there for you.
Yeah, we've moved Emily around a little bit this season, and just based on some things that happened, some injuries and different things, kind of rolled the dice and thought that it would be good to see if we can change it up again. Emily wasn't too confident that what would come of it, but she really delivered for the team.
And again, a good win for you. And when you look at the last several games that you've had, it seems like you've just been in every game there and just had a few things there in the second half that have gone against you. But I would imagine when you look at the way this team has gone this year that you feel like you're just not that far away from getting things turned around here.
Yeah, I feel like there's a few pieces missing. Just some consistency. If you really look at our roster, we're very young. And so some players have stepped into some roles, and some maturity and years of experience from some other teams have, to their credit, you know, they've taken advantage of us in the second half and made very good adjustments, In their adjustments, we just haven't adjusted to them. So it's been a learning curve, and hopefully the fruits of our labors going forward will help us to improve and be more competitive going forward.
What are some of the things that you've seen out of this team or right now that you like out of this group?
You know, it would be very easy in the circumstance of the season and the number of consecutive losses that we had there for a while, and for the girls to pack it in and shut it down. I've been very impressed with the leadership of the upperclassmen that we do have, and the buy-in from the younger players, and their willingness to continue to learn and not just look at the results right now. It's really been the challenge to compete with ourselves to find the way to be more competitive and finding the formulas that are going to make us successful going forward. I just think, again, the buy-in and commitment to each other and their focus, even though, you know, we've had a long streak of losses.
So let's take a look ahead here just a little bit to what you got coming up this weekend. A couple of home matches at the Bearcat pitch, and imagine it's going to feel nice to get back at home for a little bit here.
Yeah, we've been gone for a little bit, and so our reward for our win on Sunday is now number 10, UCO. What a fantastic team. You know, we've watched them on film, and just super athletic, and they've had a very good run. Just the organization of the team and just the work that they're putting in for one another for the success of the program. And so, I mean, there's a lot of respect in terms of what they're doing and how they're playing, but, you know, we've prepared in a way that we feel like we can compete and put forth our best foot and see if we can make this a streak and get a second win.
And again, that's coming up Friday afternoon at 3. I understand, too, you've got some activities going around the game as well with the Pink Out.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. The women have done a really good job of doing some fundraising. We have a couple of auction items that we're going to have at the event, signed soccer ball with all the players and the coaching staff, and then a poster, and then we look to donate that to a charity.
And that seems like all the athletic programs in Northwest do such a good job at doing that with the annual breast cancer awareness things, either in the fall or in the February with the football or with the basketball teams, to where it's just a little bit of outreach the athletic department has there.
Yeah, again, the involvement with all the athletic teams, and I mean, it was just kind of automatic stepping in, and the planning was very easy. The administration team, McKenzie McGuire, has been so helpful in that, and then the step up of the women on the team and their involvement, and then even the parents in terms of helping in the production of T-shirts and making things available to not just the women's soccer team, but to any Bearcat fans.
Well, then you look at Sunday, another special day coming up. Northeastern State, the opponent at Bearcat Pitch, and Senior Day that honors some folks that have been very instrumental in the soccer program through the years.
Yes, yeah, so we're going to honor four seniors that night and that morning, excuse me, and just looking forward to being able to recognize them and their commitments. You know, it goes from a four-year senior in Peyton McGee to two three-year seniors, actually have more eligibility, and then we have a transfer that's come in and has been with us for 1 year to complete her eligibility, but they all have been significant, and their involvement and growth of our program this year has really been appreciated, and looking forward to honor them.
And what about Northeastern State? Let's just talk a little bit about that game as well and what you're looking for.
You know, I think the film shows that we can compete very well with them. They're kind of a match ahead of us, so to speak. I think they've have a similar situation. I don't think their record reflects the strength of their team and just have been unlucky in a few instances, and so we're expecting a very competitive game on Sunday as well.
As far as the rest of the season, where would you like to see this team go as far as improvement? You'd like to see them make down the home stretch here?
Oh, boy. You know, I think, you know, the significant changes in different systems of play that we've done, and their willingness to learn and try new things has been very good. I think we find a lot of success in our 4-4-2 formation, and us just continuing to grow and understanding our roles in those, and again, the ability to compete for 90 minutes. You know, you mentioned earlier we're getting through the first half of matches, and then things are getting away from us in the second half. So continuing to carry over what we did Sunday, being able to complete, you know, each match for 90 minutes and see if we can get a few more wins here.
All right. Well, Mark, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Mark Gordon, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State soccer team, with us here on the KXCV KRNW Coaches Show. We'll be back and have more for you from Carson Sports Grill right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support for today's game comes from Heinlein Home Furnishings on South Main in Maryville. Locally owned and operated, Heinlein has been in the business for more than 50 years, offering mattresses and furniture from Ashley, Lazy Boy, England, Serta, and more. More information at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers pre-owned late model autos and will also purchase vehicles from individuals. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for today's game comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering auto glass, rock chip repair, and replacement glass for tractors, combines, or other agricultural equipment. More at 660-582-3131, in store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylevilleGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And we turn your attention to tennis. As joining us on the program tonight is Franco Oliva, who's coming off a heck of a week last week in Rome, Georgia at the ITA Cup, and also assistant tennis coach with the Bearcat program, Romain Bousineau, is with us. And first of all, let's talk to Romain real quick here. And Romain filling in for Mark Rosewell, who's down at the Fleetwood Mac concert tonight. So I think we know where we stand with him here. But Romain, just kind of talk a little bit about Franco here and just the heck of a run he has had this fall. He just spent phenomenal going through the regional tournament and then the national tournament as well, and also competing in the other tournaments you guys have played in this fall. He just put together a heck of a fall for you.
Yeah, he definitely did. Yeah, I think it started a little slow, and we agree on that. And then he surprised us in the regional tournament, being really amazing all the way through. I mean, it was really incredible, and kept on going. Last week when we went to national, we knew, I think, he had a chance on the first round, and the match that he could win, he won them. Second round, had a pretty close match with the defending champion, national champion from Columbus. It was a great match too. And the last match, we also knew it was a good match for him. He had a good chance to win, and he got the win again against Bluefield to finish third. I think best in the history. So, I mean, that's really good. I think it's never been done to finish third there, so really great. I mean, there's nothing else to say. It's really great for him and for the team. He's looking forward for the spring after that.
How would you classify just the improvement that he has made to make that run that he's had? What's been the biggest improvements that he's made here?
I think he's a player that is a lot on confidence, and he lost a few matches that maybe he shouldn't at the beginning, close matches, and that maybe hurt his confidence. And whenever he got it back, started winning, I think, at the Drake tournament, played really well. The week before the ITA, didn't lose, and then kept on going on the ITA. And, I mean, we could see in the last two matches, semifinal and the final of the regionals over there, it was really playing. Everything was going in. It was really great to see. He was playing so good. And then same thing last week in the national. I honestly think it's a lot of confidence. When he's confident, it's really hard to beat.
And Franco, just kind of talk about getting that confidence factor. Playing tennis a little myself, I know once you get in that zone a little bit, it can be a heck of a lot of fun where everything seems to be working for you. But when did you first begin to feel this ball that you had things going the way you wanted them on the court?
Yeah, when I went to Drake, I tried to change, like, my thought. I was thinking so negative, so I tried to say, okay, let's go. I'm here in fold. It's my first fold here, so I changed a few things. I started to practice more with some of my teammates, and after Drake, I started to feel more confident, and in region I was was really good.
Then you get down to Rome, Georgia, and had to wait out a little bit of the weather, I guess, as you got there with the hurricane that came through. But the weather turned great for the first round down there, and a big win over Tom Seether. So just tell us a little bit about that match and how that went for you.
Yeah, like, I have one of my teammates who knows the guy that I played the first match, so he gave me some advice how to start the match, so I tried to follow what my friend told me, and also Roman was there, and he gave me some advice to a strategy to try to give my best, and I played good. I started, like, my first set a little bit slow, like, I was so nervous, it was my first time there. But then in the second set, I say, okay, let's go to give my best. And in the third set, I play better. In the third set, I feel that I start to play real tennis.
Let's see, was it 6-1 in the third?
That's
what I was thinking. That you really had things rolling there in the third. And sometimes when you get into three-set mats like that, not only confidence, but also fitness comes a part of that as well. And it looked like you were the fifth player there going into that third set.
Yeah, no, in the third set was, I said, let's go. To give everything. And it's my opportunity here to show how I play. And the level there, when I got there, was, I said, wow, really good level here.
Well, and you get out of that, with the win over the fourth seed there, then you turn around and had to play the top seed in the semifinals, and despite a straight set loss, so really the set scores were pretty close, so I would imagine you still feel like you can compete against the top guy in the nation like that.
Yeah, in the second match, I knew that the guy is really good, so let's go to measure my tennis, my level. And I try to give my best, and the guy, he showed that he is really good. But I feel good with this match. It doesn't matter if I lost, because I knew what's my level and the point that I can play. And so I feel good with this tournament.
Then you turn around, play for the third place match the next day, and come up with a victory there to come back as the number three player in the nation. So let's talk about that third place match and how that went for you.
Like I said at the beginning, they say, okay, that's my opportunity to show my tennis, and I went early to watch a little bit in the final, and I warm up with Roman, but I start playing aggressive. I say, okay, let's go to look for the match. I just, okay, that's my match. I have to give everything. It's fine if I lose or if I win the match. Let's go to enjoy. I have fun in the court. I said, okay, I'm going to give everything that I have. It's my last match in the season, so let's go to here.
And it turned out pretty well for you there.
Yeah, that was really good.
Ramon, talk a little bit about warming up with him, too, and trying to get him ready for the match there. It's not been that far out since you've been competing in Northwest here. So when you warm up a player like Franco here and try to help him get ready for the match, what are some things you wanted to do to make sure he was ready to go?
Oh, we pretty much did the same thing all the 3 days. We just warm up whatever we wanted to do, really. It was on a day-to-day basis, like on how he was feeling, what he wanted to feel good for the match, and usually had a pretty good idea of the opponent he was playing. So I was trying to tell him just at the end of the warm-up, like, start with like a strategy and what to focus on, and that's what we pretty much did the 3 days, except probably the first day. But I still saw his opponent, so it was like, okay, I think that guy probably start with insisting more on the backhand side and wait for the opportunities, and I think mainly for him was to start the match with a strategy to focus on, because he, as he says, sometimes he can get his negative thoughts get the best of him. So when he's really staying focused on something during the match, is usually where he plays his best.
And what are Franco's strengths on the court?
Tennis-wise, on the strokes, the serves for sure, and the forehand. When he's, I mean, since he's playing well, his serve is probably his best weapon. Like when he's serving well, it's really hard to break, so that's tough for his opponent. I don't think he lost that many times he serves. And I mean, on the rest, I think he always fights like really well. I always tell him, I think he talks too much on the court between the points, but that's the way I think he releases sometimes the frustration and that's the way he is on the court, and that works pretty well for him. Sometimes he needs to watch out on not to get too much on the negative side, but I mean, I think he's handling pretty well.
And really, it seemed like when he got into that third set in his first round match down there, that he really had things rolling his way there to go through that third set to win against the number four seed in the nation there, and win at 6-1. That tells you an awful lot too, doesn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. And the way I see the match is more, he started the match a little nervous, which makes sense. It was the first time going there, not really expecting to be there. He kind of knew before, we kind of told him, me and some of his teammates, that he had a chance to win. So you get there and you're like, okay, I have a chance to win, but the opponent is obviously really good because he's there. So it was the first two sets, it was not, I don't think he played really well, he was fighting there. And whenever he got that second set, the confidence went on, and on the third set, he started really playing the way he did on the couple of weeks before, and that's what made the difference.
Let's just talk now, Romain, about not only with Franco, but the rest of the team as you go into the off season here and try to get ready for the spring season, which will be getting underway in February. How you want to make sure that they don't lose what they were able to gain here this fall and carry that over next spring. What are some of the things that you and Coach Roswell want to see your players work on here in the off season?
We want them to see hitting the most they can every day. I mean, right now the weather is pretty nice. It's been really well, really nice this week. So we're pushing them to go and play the most they can. Even the weekends, we can be there for practice. But we're like, we tell them, try to go practice the most you can, because whenever the weather is gonna start to get bad, you won't be able to practice. So get the most out of what you can now. And obviously, then we're going to get probably into the more conditioning and strength program, which is going to be really helpful for them to be ready for the season in February.
And Franco, when you look ahead, how do you want to build on what took place this fall? How can you obviously it's going to be tough to improve on what you did this fall, but where do you want to see your game go from here?
Like for the next season?
Yes.
Yeah. Now on December I'm going to come back to Argentina, and I have a lot of friends who's gonna help me to practice. So, and it's summer in Argentina, so it's gonna be good the weather to practice there, and try to give my best like I did in fall to help my teammates and the team move forward.
All right. Well, Franco, thanks a lot for being with us here on the show. And again, congratulations on a heck of a fall and a heck of a trip down to Rome, Georgia, coming back as the number three player in the nation. That's quite an honor.
Thank you so much.
Again, that's Franco Oliva with us here on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show, along with assistant tennis coach Romain Bousineau. We'll be back and have more for you from Carson Sports Grill right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Craig Thompson of Albany. Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at TriStateChryslerDodgeJeepRam.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information on location or at nvb.com. Member FDIC. Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back into the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show from Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Matt Tritt now being joined by Northwest Missouri State junior running back Brody McMahon. Brody, appreciate you coming in, and not a bad week of football last week. 27-13 win over Nebraska Kearney.
Yeah, it was a fun game. It's always fun to come out and get a win like that. And you know, we had a trick play. I'm sure you're going to ask me about it, and that was a lot of fun. So,
you know, there are certain teams in the MIAA that we've seen over the years, and since Kearney had gotten the league, they hadn't won more than three games in one season. Had already been up to four entering last week's football game, coming into Bearcat Stadium, but. Clearly a team on the rise. Nobody in the MIAA can really be taken lightly this year. What's that like of going and preparing? You're used to having the target on your back, but now everybody's kind of stepping up their game each year as well.
Yeah, everyone kind of has. And, you know, this year it's kind of weird. In the MIAA, everyone's kind of beating everybody else. I mean, we have a loss. And so, yeah, we have to come out every week and just play our best, and, or else we'll get beat, you know. But I think we kind of have a target on our back, and especially this week, Lindenwood's homecoming, and, you know, they're going to give us our best shot, too.
Going through and heading into this week against Lindenwood with four games left on the regular season, you get to the point to where you do control your own destiny as far as you can go in, win four games, and you're winning that conference championship outright regardless of anything else that happens. I mean, is that something that you kind of get into the year and say, let's make it to where we take care of our business? It really doesn't matter what else happens.
I mean, that's what you have to do. You have to take care of your own stuff. You know, the coaches are going to coach us up. They're great. And then, you know, all we have to do is play with confidence and play hard and know what we're supposed to be doing and take care of our stuff, and everything's going to kind of take care of itself after that. So, but, yeah, we have to do that. I think we did that this week, and we're going to have to continue doing that for the rest of the year.
We heard from Coach Flora last week during pregame, and he just mentioned going against an option team like Kearney, you want to come out, especially offensively, play fast, get them down, try to take them out of their game plan. 21 points, 252 total yards in that first quarter. I mean, it felt like offensively everything that came out happened. I mean, whatever you wanted to do, it was getting done.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot. The coaches do, starting fast and finishing strong. I think we did that. During that game, we started fast and put up 21 points pretty easy on them, and then so that gives the defense a little breathing room, and they like that too. So yeah, well, you're gonna have to come out fast and do all these things and worry about ourselves.
Now I got to see you play high school football throughout at Maryville. I've seen you play here at Northwest Missouri State, a bruising running back, kid that runs really hard, but I don't remember too many people talking about your hands, but clearly you're a pretty good receiver too as well, right?
Yeah, I can catch a few balls if you throw them at my hands, I guess. But
you got a pretty good one from there, Latroy, there last week, the receiver pass and catching Nebraska Kearney off guard. But going into that week and knowing you're getting your number called, how exciting is that?
Yeah, that's a fun play. It's a little trick play that we had, and we practiced it all week. Yeah, we just went out and ran it, and it was a nice throw over to Latroy, nice catch, and it was a great throw. He's a true freshman, by the way, and for him to be in a game and throw it, all I had to do was catch it and not trip. So, I mean, that's a lot of fun, because some of those plays, if they go wrong, you know, they go real wrong. So to be able to score on that and have a lot of fun with all the players and go over and celebrate on the sideline, that was really fun.
When you see him get it and then he puts the pass up in the end, you're running down the field, are you thinking anything? Is anything going through your mind? Or do you stay blank at least until you make the catch and get to the end zone?
Actually, on that ball, he's not a quarterback like Braden, you know. So his ball lofted a little bit, and it was a little windy that day. So I ran right and then ran left, and I just didn't want it to bonk off my helmet. So you just, but for the most part, you just kind of go blank, and then – once you catch it, I went out and looked at the Jumbotron to see if anyone was following me, but I don't think anyone was. So
now you talk about looking up at the Jumbotron as you're running into the end zone to make sure you're good. The one thing that kind of takes me back to a play like that was, and you might remember this, a semifinal game at Bearcat Stadium whenever a 98-yard touchdown run for a guy named Xavier Omond.
Yeah.
Looked up in the Jumbotron, a little juke to the right and into the end zone. That's kind of reminiscent of that same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, he timed that up pretty well, and that's when the scoreboard was on the other side.
Yeah.
But, yeah, whenever I did it, the camera was kind of zoomed in too far, so I just kind of kept running pretty hard. But
just hoping nobody's back there.
Yeah.
How have you developed? I mean, going from a running back and a guy that was a Class 3 Offensive Player of the Year for what you're doing taking handoffs to a guy that you'll step up and do a little bit of anything for this football team and showing off the hands last week.
Yeah, you just got to take your role and do whatever they ask you to do. It's a lot different game than it is in high school. You know, in high school, I just ran the ball, and it was a lot of fun doing that. And then in college, you got to know, like, your pass blick, like, pick up the blitzes, and you got to, you know your routes and everything. So, I mean, you have a job to do, and it's a lot more important. So, yeah, you just got to know your job every time, and everyone's a lot bigger and faster. So, it's a whole different game.
How have you seen your role change going from, again, a young guy we saw climb the ranks and be a great player there at Maryville, back to a freshman at Northwest, climb the ranks, and now a leader in that running back room once again?
Well, the way I look at it is I'm just lucky to be out here. You know, there's some pretty good athletes at the running back position, so whatever they want me to do, I'm fine with. And, you know, growing up, I went to every game and kind of looked up to those guys as, like, heroes. Those guys were giants, so it's kind of crazy playing for the team that I grew up watching and being one of those guys now. So just whatever they want me to do is fine with me.
We're talking Northwest Missouri State football with junior running back Brody McMahon, a Maryville native. Last year we see a lot of running backs step up and get bit by the injury bug. This year, another reloaded backfield, but a healthy backfield at that. So whether it's yourself or Josh or Raymond or Isaiah, whoever gets the call steps up, able to make those plays. How much different is that dynamic going through and everybody feel pretty good for the most part and healthy through 7 weeks of the season?
Yeah, it's nice having those guys. You know, you don't get tired during the game. You can switch things up. And those guys, the thing about it is, you know, like we're very competitive, you know, at practice and everything, but those guys are really cool guys, and over the summer we built friendships and everything. So, like, if Ray breaks off a run, I'm cheering right behind him, you know. I don't care if he's taking all the glory, you know. And same with Isaiah and Josh, they're all great guys. We're getting to be pretty good friends, so we love watching each other play.
And it's kind of cool you think about that, but then you see, you know, Chase White kind of shift to another position, but stepping up, catching touchdown passes, and whoever gets called on is stepping up, making those plays. And a similar thing, again, we see from the Spoof Hounds to the Bearcats, but it's really an unselfish nature, and that's kind of why you're able to get in this position where you're 6-1 going to Lindenwood. Again, that target on your back, it seems like everybody's willing to step up, and whatever that job is, they're going to do it.
Yeah, with Chase, we give him a hard time for, you know, being a tight end now or whatever. But the same with him, as he scores, we all get happy and go cheer on with him. And then, but yeah, we've ran him some pass routes and he's scored some touchdowns. And he leads us pretty good as a running back unit still. So we're happy whenever he scores.
Even that one-handed catch for a touchdown too. He's pretty good this year. A winning background, growing up in Maryville. At what point throughout your high school career you kind of like, I know I'm going to stay here in town and play football? Or was that kind of a last-minute deal where you kind of want to get away from it, but you know it's hard to get away from that Bearcat culture?
Well, like you said, the culture and being in Maryville, you know, I'll walk around, I'll come to Carson's and eat, and people will come up to me and say congratulations, and that's kind of the family that we talk about and all that stuff. So, I mean, in high school, some of those guys, I didn't even know who they were, but they'd come up, and that's kind of what keeps you in Maryville. And you know, the little kids' camps, all those kids come up to you and they're so excited to watch you play. So it was a dream come true almost, kind of, to stay in Maryville and play for all those kids and all these people around town.
We saw success with Coach Holt with that program, and Coach Webb picked it up and has probably built it even to even more of a powerhouse what it is now. I mean, do those kids kind of get up and get themselves to where they say, I'm going to make myself college ready, and when that time comes, I'm going to hope to see Coach Ryder or Coach Floor, one of these guys, and get on board with the Bearcats?
Yeah, I think they probably do think that way. You know, Maryville is kind of a winning town in football. It's a football town, and you just go in every day. And Coach Webb probably brought a winning mentality, and we just had a lot of success, and it was a lot of fun there too.
Northwest Missouri State 6-1 on the season, beating Nebraska Kearney last week. Trent Nally comes up with a couple interceptions. Out of the Maryville guys, who's taking the game ball? Him getting the interception to help seal that football game, or you with the big play?
Oh, I thought he was going to get the Don Black Award. We
he made a late push.
We gave Jack Richards a whole bunch of crap for that too. So, but yeah, having Trent get a couple catches and a couple interceptions, that was really exciting.
This week going in against Lindwood, last time you get to play them before they leave the MIAA. Does that change anything at all? Do you enjoy the trip a little bit more? I mean, it'd be the last time you'd be making that trip anyway. But I mean, is there something to be said about going in there and getting one last win in St. Charles?
Well, like Coach said today, they've never beat the Bearcats, I don't think. So, and it's their homecoming, so they're going to give us their best shot no matter what. But, yeah, like you said, they're going to leave, and they're going to give it their all. So we just have to give it our all.
Three of the last four regular season football games coming on the road. Any thoughts on that? Do you enjoy that road dog mentality? Is it a little bit tough? You get to this point in the season, everybody's a little bit tired, beat up maybe. Now you got to go on the road on top of it.
Yeah, well, but going on the road's fun. You know, Fridays we get out of class and we get on the bus and we go hang out with all of our buddies and we go eat. I think we have three meals paid for us, huge meals tomorrow. We're going to get a pizza at like 8 o'clock at night. And then we get to go hang out at the hotels and go play in the pool with all the O-linemen. And, I mean, it's just a lot of fun. You get to go somewhere else and see what's going on in Lindenwood, and it's – I kind of like the road trips. They're pretty interesting.
Awesome. Brody, we appreciate your time. Good luck this weekend in St. Charles.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's Brody McMahon, Northwest Missouri State junior running back here from Maryville, joining us on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show as the Bearcats getting ready to take on Lindenwood this Saturday afternoon. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have the head coach of the Bearcats, Rich Wright, here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for today's game comes from SSM Health Medical Group and St. Francis Hospital in Maryville. SSM Health offers 10 medical clinics and 35 primary care and specialty providers throughout the Bearcat Nation. More at ssmhealth.com.
Today's game is being underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at the 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from the Impact Interiors, led by Bearcat football alumnus Steve Coppinger. Impact Interiors is a full-service office furniture provider that aims to tackle jobs both big and small. For more information on furniture lines, installation, or designs, impactllc.biz.
Support for today's game comes from SureGrow Plant Food Company, with 7 stores throughout Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa. Since 1951, SureGrow's provided the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on their products is at 660-446-3376. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, joined now by the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. And Rich, good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And coming off a good homecoming win. Homecoming's always a fun time, but it's even more enjoyable for folks when the football team comes up with a nice win like
that. Yeah, we always talk about we have one job, and that's to win the game. We don't do parades. We don't select homecoming queens. We need to win a football game, and we were able to do that. So that's fun, but there was so much going on during the day. We had over 140 recruits on campus. We had the 1998 team back on campus for their 20-year reunion. Coach Churchman went into the M Club Hall of Fame along with Andy Erpelding, and it was just a lot of fun to see a lot of several old Bearcats back in town.
And you mentioned the royalty, and I don't know if you knew this at all either, but back in 1982, John was actually the king at Northwest Missouri State.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was,
I didn't either.
He's still royalty on campus. But,
right.
Of course,
but
that's a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. Some of us weren't even born yet in 1982.
Ooh, I was, so be careful on that.
I was referring to Brody, right? You come out and you start fast, 21-0 at the end of the first quarter, and able to kind of book it there and win it 27-13. But that's to be huge coming out and just everybody firing on all cylinders right away.
You know, it's funny. And I'm sure the questions will come because they have been the last couple weeks. But I'd have given anything to start out that fast a year ago. I mean, it's just it's been great. I mean, they came out and they hit. You know, they hit on a lot of plays and we're up and. It just gives you know, us defensively a collective sigh of relief that we've got a little bit of a cushion to play with, and so that's helpful. And you know, it just kind of it shows the explosive nature of our offense. We've got a lot of dynamic kids, and you know, how about LaTroy Harper, a freshman, throwing a touchdown pass to Brody, and it's just fun to watch. You know, what our offensive guys are doing right now.
It really seems like you have so many different ways that you can use those guys. You talk about LaTroy, a wide receiver, played some quarterback in high school that can drop back and throw a pass from time to time. But a lot of these guys, you got guys with some talents that you're finding ways to use that talent in different ways.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that we're big proponents of is we look for multi-sport athletes. We look for guys that play lots of things. We look for who is the best kid on your high school football team. You know, sometimes I think guys lose sight of that. You know, it's we're recruiting this or recruiting that. You know, LaTroy Harper was the best football player on his football team. And yes, he's going to play receiver, but he can do some other things. And it just lends itself to being creative if you just take a minute or two to look outside the box.
It's so huge, too, because there's quite a few guys that are either from, you know, Kansas City, Omaha, up in Iowa, but it's crazy to think how many guys grew up in Northwest Missouri that played for Northwest Missouri State University. I mean, that one pass alone was, you know, Harper to McMahon. I mean, you're kind of closing off the region while also branching out and bringing in other big guys.
You know, and a year ago, it's been the probably the greatest pleasure for me in becoming the head coach in our program is getting to recruit Missouri. I had never recruited Missouri. I was always the Iowa guy. And so I recruited Iowa, and I recruited Illinois, and I recruited Florida. And so when I became the head football coach, I got to recruit Northwest Missouri and Kansas City. And so it's been fun for me to get to see a lot of these programs up this way. And obviously we've had it's had a huge impact on who we are and what we are, not just in the past, but moving forward. And we had a great class out of our local area this last year.
And to me, what is neat about watching this team as it comes together every year, you always have that good base of area kids on the team, but you bring in some guys, like say, from Florida and some other school states, and they all kind of mesh together into one unit every year, and that's fun to see.
Yeah, you know, I learned one of the best lessons I learned from Coach Churchma is and in him developing and building our program was, you know, he would bring in guys from other places, but he wanted them to conform to our culture rather than, you know, having subcultures within. And so you sprinkle it in with guys from distances and yet you maintain your roots of being in the Midwest and what your values are and how we go about doing things. And our kids understand that. And the other piece that, you know, Coach T was a big proponent of, and we carried on with Coach Doral and now myself, is we look for kids that go to successful programs and understand how winning works, and you know that there is a process about things, and so it kind of just perpetuates itself when they get onto campus.
Speaking of winning players, Braden Wright played pretty well. You look at him in that first quarter, and not a Chiefs fan, but you think about Patrick Mahomes' first few weeks, how he's evading everybody and throwing on the run and making some great plays. There were a couple times that pass rush got in the backfield and Braden wasn't going to go down. Found a way to kind of leak his way out, eyes down the field, and made some incredible passes. And I just think the athleticism there, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, he's a dynamic player. He's really, you know, kind of our centerpiece right now, is at least as far as offense. And I guess that's just the nature of the position a little bit when you're quarterback, because the ball gets distributed through you. But there's so many different ways that he can beat you. And you know, that's what makes us difficult to defend, because when a play breaks down, he's got the ability with his athleticism to beat you with his legs. And he does a good job. Usually, as a defensive coach, what I try and do is get a young quarterback to pull the ball down. And if I can get you to pull the ball down, oftentimes you just become a runner. And I want that, because now you're one-dimensional. Braden does a pretty good job of continuing to look down the field and has an awareness about himself and makes a lot of plays off of it.
On the defensive side, you've got a number of guys having a heck of a season up to this point. Jack Richards, one of those, the Don Black Award winner on Saturday. Another fine job out there, making a lot of big plays. And then Trent Nally came in and made some good plays for you defensively.
Yeah, you know, they were our co-players of the week, at least as voted by our team. I think the people were voting on the Don Black Award voted a little early. I wonder if Trent might have won that thing. The Townie might have gotten him, but Jack played an incredible game, and we asked him to do something that really he had never done. We put him in the middle of the field and said, run the alley all day, and you've got to make tackles. And Anthony's going to cover, and you're going to tackle, and you're going to work both ways. And he did a fantastic job of executing the game plan. And he's such a great kid. He's been such a big part of our program for the last 2 years. And, you know, he's special because he was a walk-on, and nobody gave him a chance. He's 5'8", you know, he's 100-and-something pounds, and I can remember those guys from Lee's Summit West saying, you know, you need to take a look at this kid. And I'll be darned if, you know, he isn't one of my favorite players all time. I love the way the kid plays. I love the way he comes to the office every week. We're game planning on Monday afternoon, and he's with the coaching staff from 12 o'clock till whenever we finish. And it's just indicative of who he is and what he's all about.
You got a couple guys like that. Probably a number more than just two that that way too. But you look at Jackson Barnes, another guy that's come in and really made a name for himself and fought his way into the starting lineup.
Absolutely. What a great job he's done. And you know, that's that next man up philosophy that we're always talking about. You know, Andy Hessler goes down, and Jackson's backing up Ben Althoff. And, you know, we move Jackson out to the outside linebacker spot, and boom, he flourishes. And he's just, you know, he's one of those kids that has a tremendous work ethic and, you know, puts in his time and doesn't complain and wants to be successful as a team. And, you know, he's just willing to help in any way that he can. And, you know, you touched on it earlier with Trent Nally, and Trent's not, you know, hadn't been starting for us. And how proud I am of him. You know, he comes in the game and understands his role. He's a nickel player. He's got great instincts. He understands, you know, next to Jack, he's the number two quarterback on our defense, and comes in, and it's how awesome is it that in front of a homecoming crowd for a kid that grew up going to those games from the time he was little, you know, he has two picks and just does great stuff. So,
well, you talk about recruiting the local guys, the guys from winning programs, and does that just kind of come even when they're put in a situation where, hey, you're backing this guy up, you're not going to start, your snaps might be limited until an injury happens, they still have that focus in practice, in film, to where they do know their role and they're going to step up and be ready to go right away? Is that just knowing what kind of kid that is?
I think so. We've been very blessed here over the years to have that kind of dynamic of kids. I mean, kids that are extremely selfless in the sense that they're not worried about what the outcome is for me as long as the outcome for we happens the right way. And it's not always easy. I talk about them at the end of the year meetings, and you're putting money in a slot machine, and it's not paying, and it's not paying, and it's not paying. But you continue to play, and you continue to grind, and sooner or later it does. And over the years, it's just happened a lot, and it's fun to watch that because, guys, that's life. You know, that's what happens. You know, you don't always get what you want right away, and a lot of times you have to work for it. And It may come in a different avenue, and that's why I think our kids learn something a lot more important than playing football in their 5 years at Northwest Missouri State. They learn how to go be great fathers and great husbands and great men in whatever community they go back to.
And we're talking with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. When we come back, we'll look ahead towards Saturday in Lindenwood. That's coming up right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from United Electric Cooperative, who is committed to serving Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa residences with reliable and affordable power. For all electrical services, UECI.coop.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for today's game comes from Compass Dental Group. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler are proud supporters of Bearcat Athletics and the quality culture that is Northwest Missouri State University. More information on the Compass Dental Group is online at compassdentalgroup.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Chad Peterson, Chad Townsend, Derek Schluter, and Maggie Wilson offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitsenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitsenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or pitsautobody.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcasting live from Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville with the head coach of the Bearcats, Rich Reip. And Rich, you got something this weekend you don't have very often. You're playing a homecoming game on the road. That doesn't happen very often for this team for some reason.
No, not usually, but we've been Lindenwood's homecoming twice now. That happened a couple years ago too. It's funny, one of my assistant coaches was texting with one of our former GAs whose brother is on the staff at Lindenwood and said, sent a text, who the heck schedules Northwest as a homecoming game? But, you know, we're going to be there, so excited. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff and just ready to go.
Not a rival like a Missouri Western, Pitt State, Central Missouri, but it is their last go around in the MIAA. Does that hold any more bearing of last time we're going to be going there as a conference opponent?
Yeah, it does. I actually talked to Jed Stugart today. He told me that we were going to be on the home side, so they're going to be on the visitor's side. We're going to be on the home side. And you know me and superstition. I'm fairly superstitious. So he said, well, we're going to try and find any way we can to beat you. And I said, well, that's great. So I'm going to try and find any way I can not to get beat. So we're looking forward to it. The thing that we've talked about all week, they've got a great offense. They're the number 3 ranked offense in the MIAA. Their quarterback is number 7 in the league in rushing. Their back is number 5 in the league in rushing. They've got a great tight end. So we're going to get challenged. It's just that next step in the process. And our kids have had a good week of practice, and we're just excited to go over there and take a road trip. I was listening to Brody talk a little bit. And for us, it's fun. It's kind of fun to go on the road. You get an opportunity to just have the team together. And there's not all the distractions and everything else, and we're able to go to a hotel and kind of just enjoy each other's company for a little while. And so that's fun.
When you look at Lindenwood, it looks like one of the biggest problems they've had this season is they just give up a lot of points.
Yeah, they're giving up a lot of points, no doubt about that. They're in every game they play. You know, you look at the Washburn score, you look at the UCO score. They take Pitt to overtime. You know, they're dangerous. They beat Emporia State, who's turned around and since losing to us it's just indicative of the MIAA this year that, you know, you've got to show up and bring your A game if you're going to win. And so we've got to be ready to play, you know, because this thing could turn into a shootout if we're not.
It seems like in years past, the MIAA hasn't always been kind to young quarterbacks. Now two of the best quarterbacks in the MIAA are meeting this week, and they're both redshirt freshmen. Just, it's kind of crazy to think about how good these guys are and how much they have to grow.
Oh, no doubt. You know, it's I've been, you know, talking to our defense all week that we haven't played. You know, this is the number 3 offense in the MIAA, but we haven't played number 1 and number 2. Number 1 is Central Missouri, and number 2 is us. And so it's, you know, those two kids have a lot of upside. It's interesting that we recruited both, you know, and you know, their quarterback ended up going over that way. You know, and we ended up with Braden and very happy because of that. But it's just,
you know, that it's weird to see how things have transferred over to that younger generation in the MIAA after so many familiar faces all those years.
Well, it's always a lot of fun this time of year to go on the road. You're having a heck of a season now, and to go, as you say, you got on the road trip and get together, and then you go up against a team that could present some challenges, but it's a lot of fun to be playing football this time of year, isn't it?
There sure is. I mean, it's just, I got done talking to the team today, and I said, okay, after today, you have 9 practices left, seniors. You have to earn the right to have any more than that. And it's the weather's starting to get cold. You've got the Christmas in the air. You can smell the leaves. It's that time, and so the stakes continue to get bigger, and you know, we're where we wanted to be at this point, but we've got to move forward and take that next step.
And we did talk with Brody about that a little bit too. Just that's big to be in the driver's seat this time of year, of you're not having to look over your shoulder, scoreboard watch. It's just play your game.
Yeah, you know, we've got everything we want right in front of us. We just have to take care of ourselves, and you know that makes things a little bit easier each week when you're going to practice. You know, it's funny to say this, you know, I was thinking about it the other morning. You know, how many teams no longer control their destiny? How many teams now know that the pads are going away on X date? And there are several of those already in the MIAA, and we're, you know, in week 7. And so it's, you know, it's great to be able to still say that all the goals that we set for ourselves as a football program are still on the table moving forward.
All right. Well, Rich, thanks a lot for being with us, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm looking for, you know, for the first time in quite a while, I have all three of my ladies in the house here. I have Grace, Kate, and Sarah. So I'm going to go enjoy a great dinner at Carson's.
All right. Sounds good. That's Rich Wright, head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team. We'll be back and wrap things up right after this timeout from Carson's.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Losh Optometry, serving Northwest Missouri. Dr. Ryan Losh provides patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Home by Sonya at 217 East 1st Street in Maryville. Home by Sonya provides full-service interior styling, along with custom window coverings, flooring, furniture, and more. Information available online at homebysonya.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Delpert's Garage at 714 North Depot in Maryville. Delpert and his team handle car and truck repairs, from brakes and air conditioners to replacing engines and transmissions. Learn more at 660-562-0025.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for today's game comes from SSM Health Medical Group and St. Francis Hospital in Maryville. SSM Health offers 10 medical clinics and 35 primary care and specialty providers throughout the Bearcat Nation. More at ssmhealth.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And we're back at Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville as we wrap things up. Matt Trent, and I'm John Coffey. And Matt, one thing we need to talk about before we close out the show, basketball bashes tonight. 8 o'clock start over Bearcat Arena. A chance for folks to go over and see the 2018-19 men's and women's basketball teams as they'll be introduced in front of the fans, and some special activities going on over there.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. A chance to kind of, I guess, get the swing of things. We are, man, what, 2 weeks from the first basketball game for the men, November 3rd in St. Joe, the Hall of Fame Classic for small college basketball. So that'll be a lot of fun. Obviously, some great giveaways going on. A young man I know you're tight with, Steve Serrano, the MC tonight. So it'll be a lot of fun over at the Bearcat Arena.
That it will. Again, getting started at 8 o'clock this evening. Reminder, you're listening to KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. Well, I have football for you on Saturday afternoon. Northwest and Lindenwood from St. Charles. Their airtime is 12 noon with Bearcat game day before the 1 o'clock kickoff. Again, Northwest and Lindenwood. That'll do it for our show here tonight from Carson Sports Grill. For everyone involved with their broadcast, all the coaches and players who have come out to be on the show tonight, for Matt Trenton and also Creamer Sansone, I'm John Coffey, and so long from Carson's.